chapelboro.com. Go there quick and stay a while. Chapelboro.com. More of what you live here for. Now News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Side Dish, hosted by Deborah Miller. Tune in for 30 minutes of tasty talk with culinary aficionados, wine connoisseurs, and more. Side Dish is locally produced by News Talk 1360 WCHL. Now let's get to the tasty talk with Deborah Miller.
Welcome to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I am around the table today with one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Sherry Castle. Welcome, honey.
So happy to be here. You're one of my favorite people, too.
You know, we just have so much fun, and you hadn't been here since the spring.
Right.
I want us to catch up and talk a little bit about how the cookbook is doing. It's the new Southern Garden Cookbook, enjoying the best from homegrown gardens, farmers markets, roadside stands, and CSA farm boxes. Now, I know we're a little past all that, but this came out in April, right?
It came out in April, but you know, it is selling gangbusters. I am so gratified. It's selling nationwide. I've got some great national, regional, and local press, and it's many people are buying it right now, getting ready for Christmas presents and other holiday gifts as they have all summer long.
Wouldn't that be a fun thing to give with a CSA box?
Absolutely. I've actually had some of the CSAs, they have bought some to offer that to their clients, and I've had some other creative shoppers do that very thing or put it in gift baskets, like, you know, a collection
right.
of, you know, utensils or something, and then that's the capstone.
Did you sell it at the farmer's market?
I did. I have been at both the Durham and the Carrboro markets and have plans to go to the Chapel Hill market, and people just love it. I mean, this book is hitting with people all over the country, and what more could an author want?
No, I mean, it's fabulous. And if I'm not mistaken, you got a fabulous plug with the New York Times.
I did. I was called one of their notable books of the season back in the summer, which is big doings for a small town girl.
Oh, my gosh. And how'd you find out about that?
Oh, the publicity team at UNC Press knew about it, and then I started getting emails from all over the place. And if you ever wonder if people still read papers, oh, yes, they do.
Well, they do. The New York Times is one of those people. Mm-hmm. Do that. You hear all that about subscription numbers and stuff are down. I guess a lot of people are reading things online, and that's a little harder to quantify. But
right.
I still love picking the paper up.
Oh, I do, too. And I got lots and lots of good feedback from that. And then I had the good fortune to be in the Thanksgiving story in USA Today. They had some quotes about Southern Thanksgivings and so forth. And that was really good also. There was a big blip right after that.
Well, so sort of an offside question. Mm-hmm. What is one of your favorite Thanksgiving side dishes?
Oh, gosh. I make these sweet potatoes that I've decided are life-changing. And it's funny. I invented them on the fly last Thanksgiving, and it was the very last recipe I swapped out in the book. The book was done, and I called and said, if the ink isn't dry, we have got to change this out. And they have lemon in them. And it blows people away because they're simple, straightforward, full of sweet potato flavor, and they have that lemon garnish in them. And they are magnificent, and I could eat them every day and pretty much have.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I need to look that up. I didn't make sweet potatoes this year. I decided to do butternut squash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that were having dinner at my house looked a smidge disappointed, but until they tried my roasted butternut squash.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I love all those orange vegetables and those, you know, those pumpkins and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that they are overlooked as a local winter food that stays in season throughout the winter. They're nutritious. They're inexpensive.
They're colorful.
Colorful, and you can do a trillion things with them.
There's this wonderful natural sweetness about it that just seems to complement everything.
Exactly. And it freezes well. And you can't say that about a lot of fresh produce, but you can roast that stuff and mash it and freeze it, and it's as good 90 days later as it was the day you made it. And that's a real bonus. That's your own convenience food.
Do you make parsnip puree?
I do make parsnip puree.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe I can figure out what it is.
I know. Well, people don't know. I mean, they have it in restaurants all the time without ever even really realizing what this beautiful pool of sweet, I don't even know how.
It's like sweet, nutty. There's a kind of vegetal spiciness without, I mean, not hot, but, you know, there's some aromatics to it. And I think another vegetable that people around here really don't give its due is rutabagas.
You're probably right.
They are so mild and delicate. And I think people don't know what to expect because they maybe never had them. They think they're going
to
be strong
them.
Or whatever. But, I mean, you boil them up and mash them like making mashed potatoes, and they are magnificent.
Well, see, I guess when we get around to spring next year, we're going to, I think you and I, we'll go to the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick some of the weirdest things we can find. We'll come in here and talk about how to cook them. And, you know, we may need to do that with winter root vegetables, too, because I think, you know, I brought home parsnips and everybody was like, what? What is that? Because they look funny. Mm-hmm.
They do. People go like, they think they're weird carrots or something. Right. Another one in that category.
Albino carrots,
exactly, would be Jerusalem artichokes, what some people call sunchokes.
Right.
They're plentiful. They're inexpensive. They're delicious. And it's one of my favorite recipes in the book. I make a cream of Jerusalem artichoke soup and then put a wild mushroom hazelnut confit in the middle. It sounds fancier than it is. It's just soup with good stuff in the middle. It's magnificent.
Oh, confit.
Yeah. That's a fancy word for just mean good stuff.
But confit is, there's just something so wondrous about confit. And I guess everybody thinks of duck confit, which is
about as good as it gets.
About as good as it gets. So it's an absolutely beautiful book, and I go to it a lot. It's the cover is gorgeous. The picture is that a That's a biscuit?
It's actually cornbread made in an English muffin pan, but a biscuit would work. It looks like that. And it's heirloom tomatoes, a slice of crisp pancetta, and then around the bottom are those tiny little delicate buttery butter beans with creme fraiche, cracked pepper, and thyme. It's nothing but a riff on a good old butter bean sandwich that poor people ate. But if you call it a vegetable Napoleon, it plays better on a wider scale.
Well, I guess than a butter bean sandwich.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, my younger sister, she would kill me if she knew I was saying this on the air, so we won't tell her. But she used to make mashed potato and green pea sandwiches. And we would all look at her, and she would have to make sure that the peas were all equally distributed. You couldn't just have like a hunk of peas on one side. They had to be nicely distributed.
It's funny what people put on sandwiches. That would be a great survey to take. I have a friend who writes books about artisanal cheese, and one of her friends grew up on bologna, peanut butter, and cheese sandwiches, which sounds like a bad drinking game or something. I got to tell you, there's something sort of compelling. Oh, and there's pickles. Pickles on it, too. I know, that's what I said, but until I took a bite, it's like, you know, I've eaten worse.
Well, one of my favorites, and that people do not, they don't get it till I've fed it to them, and it's not following Elvis. I made it long before he did, but it's I put honey on bread, then apple butter, then crunchy peanut butter, and sliced bananas, and then Duke's mayonnaise.
Oh gosh!
And
yes.
it especially if the honey has time to sort of soak into the bread to make it a little crunchy. It's like having a dessert lunch.
Oh, it is. I love that sort of thing. And we grew up on, you know, banana sandwiches, banana and peanut butter with the honey. And they make this stuff. I actually have seen it in the grocery store. I got to figure out how to make it at home. Banana cream. Banana cream.
Oh, I need to look at that. Well, we're going to have to go to break. Before we go, you've been busy signing books, and I think you've got some something coming up on TV. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But before we go to break, give us web address and all that good stuff.
SherryCastle.com.
And you can bounce around there, and you can see where Sherry's going to be all of December and where you'll be signing this book, right? And anything else?
Most of the local bookstores have signed stock. And if anybody in the area wants something customized, I will make that happen for them.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360. Don't go away.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller. I am around my table today with Sherry Castle, one of my favorite people. And we're talking about her cookbook that came out this year, the New Southern Garden Cookbook. And you've got something really exciting coming up middle of December. Tell us about that.
I do. I have, you know, I've picked up this monthly television thing in Charlotte. It's on one of their daytime shows. And I go and cook once a month, and it has turned into such a great thing. My segment gets a little longer each time, and it's people are seeing it, you know, through the internet all across the state and across the region. And they pretty much let me pick out what to cook, and you put that paper online, that recipe in the paper and online. And it's really fun. And I, you know, I've always had a dream dream of being on TV. And granted, it's just a little segment, but it's TV.
Well, so how did this all start?
They heard about the book. They read an article in the Charlotte Observer that came out in April when the book came out,
uh-huh.
and said, would you like to come cook? And it was sort of a come see me kind of thing. And it went so well that as soon as the little red light went out, they said, can you come back monthly? And I said, well, of course I can.
So you drive to Charlotte?
I do. I drive to Charlotte.
So how many shows have you done?
Well, we started in April, so next week, I think we shoot the next time on the 11th or 12th, I think it is, will be our eighth one.
And that will air when?
It will air that day, but then they archive them, and the station is WCNC. I remember it's Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's the NBC affiliate, and they archive it on their website for quite a while afterward.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I'm happy to link that to my new blog and when it comes out. So be sure to let me know.
That's great.
We can help. So we can't watch it here until we have to watch it online.
Right. It may be people that have like a satellite dish can get it, but if you just have regular cable, you get our NBC affiliate instead of the one there. Although I've been doing a little bit of stuff for the local NBC affiliate too. They're really great folks also over in Raleigh.
Have you?
Yeah, here and there. Maybe once a quarter or something like that, and they're good folks too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, so what are you cooking this coming segment?
I think I'm going to do, believe it or not, some cakes and cookies and so forth. We're going to do, or it's coming out. We have it quite aside. The other thing is, we're saying maybe in anticipation of New Year's Day, which will mm-hmm. be here in the blink of an eye. I do Hoppin' John risotto.
Oh,
which is out of this world. Matter of fact, there's a magazine. I'm pretty sure a national magazine. I can't say who yet, but there's a really good shot. They're going to run it on their online version. And it's just the same rice and beans and things that you have in risotto. But in regular Hoppin' John, but I make it like risotto. So it's creamy
and
delicious.
And you stir. You do all the stirring.
You do the stirring. But risotto is not hard. People think
no,
it
no,
is.
No, I love risotto.
It's a few minutes of an easy task. So it's not hard to do. And then to top it all, I put collard pesto. I make pesto, a winter pesto out of blanched collard greens, sun-dried tomatoes, pecans, things like that. And it's good on all sorts of different foods, and it doesn't oxidize the way the basil one does. It stays green for like 2 weeks in the refrigerator.
So where is this recipe?
It is in the field pea chapter of the book.
All right. Mm-hmm. I think I might have to rethink mine.
It's really good. And if you happen to have any of the risotto left, you can make little cakes out of it. You know, people make black-eyed pea cakes for New Year's Eve parties. You can just form those little risotto cakes, put some crumbs, and warm them up in a pan till they're crisp. And then you put a dollop of your leftover collard pesto on top. It's a great New Year's Day party food.
And so you're saying that will keep the collard pesto will keep?
Like 2 weeks. It really, because it doesn't get that black look mm-hmm. to it. It doesn't oxidize the way the basil does. And you can put that on pasta. You can put that on a grilled cheese sandwich. Collard pesto is a thing people should pursue.
Well, you should have brought some in. We could have tasted it and talked about it. And
I'll bring you some later.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It is so good.
Well, okay. So one of the questions for this TV show, did you make mm-hmm. your sweet potatoes?
I didn't, because they already had somebody doing sweet potatoes the week before. So I switched to something else. I ran that up the flagpole and they said it sounded great. And they loved the sound of my sweet potato biscuits too. But it was too much like something they'd already run.
Well, so what's coming up for you?
Coming up for me, I'm doing a lot of private classes in December and January. You know, I don't teach as frequently as I used to, but I'm not out of it altogether. Mm-hmm. And so many groups of either neighbors, family members, maybe a book club or coworkers that want to do something a little different besides just go out to eat for a holiday gift to one another, mm-hmm. have me come do a private custom cooking class. So it's dinner and a show, as I like to say, because I go whole forth about how to make it all, give them the recipes, and then they get to sit down to a wonderful meal together afterward. And I'm doing a lot of those this season.
Are you enjoying that?
I love that. You know, almost always people are fantastic and interesting and want me to be there. And, it's a lot of fun. It's fun watching people have fun.
Well, do they often invite you to stay for dinner?
They do. And, even if it's people I know and people I like, I don't cross that line. I don't drink wine while I'm cooking because I'm at work.
Right.
They're at the party. I'm at
work.
And I don't sit down and eat with them because it changes the dynamic. My job is to go entertain them, make them a glorious dinner, and then fade into the woodwork.
So, is there another book?
oh, maybe sort of, kinda. Yeah, you know, I had sworn I was never going to do another one, and I think that's kind of like, you know, a lot of people think. But I am almost sort of, kinda, maybe thinking about it.
Almost sort of, kinda, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good answer. I'm going to use that next time.
Okay.
Well, so are you, like, you're lying in bed at night and you're thinking, oh, I kind of sort of don't want to do one, but I kind of sort of do want to do one. Where does that take you? I mean, is that where you get the inspiration for a new book?
It is. And for me, I have to think is, you know, what really needs to be said? Because there are a lot of cookbooks out there.
There's a bajillion.
And some are good and some are not. And, you know, especially if you have to compete with, you know, the people that are household names that you see on television, mm-hmm. you know, their books are going to sell automatically. If you're not in that echelon, you really have to have a good, solid, appealing concept. And I believe that when I can formulate an idea that I can get behind, it's like, I believe in this. I have something to say that's not been said. Then it's time to write a book.
Well, I like that. So I that's probably hard to. Then you have to research and see what has.
Oh, you do. You do. Yeah, exactly. It takes, you know, people. It takes 3 years at a minimum to write a book. By the time you do the proposal, get the work done, get the printing done and all that, it's a minimum of a 3-year cycle. And that's both a very long time and a very brief time.
Well, we're going to have to go to break again here soon. Before we go, give us web address again.
SherryCastle.com.
And your website, you can get information about
where I am, what I'm doing, where to buy books, you know, where I'm going to be speaking. It's a guide to my life.
Do you have recipes online too?
I don't, because I kind of think that's my commodity. I do.
Yep.
You know, if somebody calls me, I'm always gracious and generous with the information, but I don't post my recipes.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Well, when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more with Sherry and maybe about some. She's got a Christmas story she's gonna tell us, a holiday dinner story. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
We now return to Side Dish, News Talk 1360 WCHL's locally produced program dedicated to all things food. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Deborah Miller, and I am around the table with Sherry Castle, and you have a holiday story for us.
I do. I have made the same Christmas dinner. This will be year 17. I made it the first year that my daughter was born, and even though she's not 17 yet, we've had 17 Christmases, and when she was a baby, she didn't eat it, but I made these pan-seared tenderloin steaks, and I make this astonishing balsamic sauce to go on them, and it's my trademark. And not only is it our family favorite, it is the first thing I ever had published in a magazine. So it sort of, you know, it wins our hearts, and it sort of launched a different aspect of my career. It was published in Southern Living Magazine in 1996.
Oh my gosh!
The first year they had their holiday recipe contest they used to run, and I mailed it off. I'd never entered a contest. I won, and I've never entered another, so that I can say I have a 100% success rate in winning national recipe contests. But it is a wonderful thing now, and I do believe that my family would just, you know, pitch a hissy fit if I didn't make it.
And so do you make it every year?
I make it absolutely every year, and they don't want it messed around with.
So what else, what's the whole meal like?
The whole meal is I do these tenderloin steaks in a cast iron skillet.
And then, do you pound them or do
no, you? No, I keep them thick and juicy and put just a bunch of coarse salt and cracked pepper on the outside. Sear them in a pan. Uh-huh. And then so that they're really, you know, and then leave them medium rare. And I make a wild mushroom and potato gratin. And, you know, I'll do some sort of little token vegetable just to put some green on the plate. And then, you know, the little.
So they're flexible with the vegetable.
They could care less about the vegetable. I think that's just a token
Isn't
effort
that
on
funny?
Mine.
Mm-hmm.
And they like vegetables, but it's irrelevant to that particular experience for them. And then for dessert, you know, the little molten center chocolate cakes that are now pedestrian.
Yes.
They were big doings in the mid-90s.
Yes,
and
they
I
were.
Have to make those little molten center chocolate lava desserts for, you know, dessert for them. And that's Christmas at our house, and I don't dare mess around with it.
Now, is that lunch or dinner?
Usually it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, I'll get up. Now, the other counterpart to Christmas is I make a good old-fashioned throwdown Southern breakfast. I do grits, sausage gravy and biscuits, some eggs, some, you know, apple fritters. I throw down for breakfast. And then after, you know, when we kind of get so we can draw good breaths again, then I start on supper.
So you're cooking all day.
I do. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is. But, you know, you love it.
I do. It is. I mean, what more?
What time
what
is
better?
Breakfast, I think?
You need to come over about 9:30. You come right on. And, you know, what better expression of love is than to make something that my family loves for them? That's my expression of love.
No, you know what? We had one we had a traditional Christmas dinner at my house and at my parents' house growing up. And one of the things, there were a couple of the things that were just, now I sort of cringe, but one was this fruit compote that had the red apple rings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I remember those. They came in cans.
You darn near can't find those anymore.
Right.
And every year we want to, and they had the little red maraschino cherries, mm-hmm. and it had canned peaches. And mm-hmm.
Did they put curry in it? Some people put a little curry powder and melted butter in that.
There was melted butter and a little sherry.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And some nuts, and it was baked. And my niece is getting married in Easter, and we were talking about cooking a brunch for the bridesmaids, and she said, well, if you're going to cook, I want to duplicate Christmas morning. And I said, Easter morning? And she says, yes, and we have to have the fruit compote. Well, you can't even find those spiced apples anymore.
No, you can't. You'd have to look online, but you know, this, I think it'd be interesting to see what products have disappeared that people used to rely on, you know, that you just can't get anymore because our tastes have changed.
Well, thank you for coming in and talking today.
I'd come every day if you'd
you
have
will?
Me. I would. I
All
would.
Right, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. I'll bring biscuits.
Thank you so much. We've been talking with Sherry Castle. You've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL 1360.
Thanks for listening to Side Dish. Download this and all episodes of Side Dish from WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Side Dish is an exclusive broadcast of News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's News Talk and Tar Heel Station.